One of the fun things about travel is getting acquainted with a country's culture and even its little rivalries. Scottish tour guide Anne Doig lets us in on an old saying that does reinforce some of the stereotypes inside the British Isles, but it does it with a gentle sense of humor.
There's a little poem illustrates our humor, I guess, but it starts with, "First you have the Welsh, who pray on their knees and on their neighbours. Then you have the Irish, who don't know what they want, but they'll fight you for it anyway. Then you have the Scots, who keep the Sabbath and everything else they can get their hands on. And then you have the English, who are a self-made race, which absolves Almighty God of a great deal of responsibility."
It's so important in our travels that we become kind of a cultural chameleon. And maybe you don't drink a lot of tea, but boy, when you're in England, it makes a lot of sense to have a spot of tea. A spot of tea feels just right for me when I'm in England, even though I don't think about it much on this side of the Atlantic. We're going to learn today about the formal teas of England, and we're joined by a Blue Badge guide from London, Britt Lonsdale. Britt, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Now, Britt, you've spent years taking Americans around London as a tour guide. I find people are very interested in these teas. What can we learn about teas to understand that part of English culture?
Afternoon tea for English people is just such an automatic ritual that we never really think too much about it. We think that afternoon tea really started. One of the people given credit for it is the Duchess Anna Maria, who was the 7th Duke of Bedford's wife, and she found the distance between lunch and between dinner a little too far, and so she got little sandwiches, cake and a pot of tea served to her. And it's thought that she was the person who really started it off, although various other claimants are there if you read about it. But it's just a wonderful little ceremony, and it's evolved over the years, and it's become something that you just tend to enjoy to make a bit of a fuss of yourself over. You know, it's nice to treat yourself to an afternoon tea, and it's so delicious. But I do warn you that it bypasses the alimentary canal and settles immediately on your hips and thighs.
You could call this Victorian then, couldn't you? Is it 19th century?
Yes, I think, I mean, tea, of course, has been a rage for much longer than that, really. But it's thought that the real afternoon tea as we know it today probably evolved during that time.
And originally it would be for people with a lot of time on their hands as opposed to the working class?
I would imagine so, although I think lots of people did like to try and, you know, say that they took tea, certainly. But nowadays I think everybody really enjoys a good afternoon tea. But it's still not for people on a limited budget, because if you go for a really posh afternoon tea at somewhere like the Langham Hotel or the Ritz or the Landmark or Fortnum & Mason's, you're going to have not much change left from about £40. That's a lot of money.
£40. So that would be how many dollars?
Gosh, $70? $60? $70, yes, at today's rates. I know.
Last time I was in London, I learned that you can split a tea. Is that actually kosher if two people want to order a $60 tea, split it?
Well, you and I did at the Wolseley, I seem to remember, and we were treated very nicely there and allowed to do that.
Yeah.
If you were to go to somewhere like the, you know, the Ritz or the Langham,
that would be frowned on there, I suppose.
Well, I'm not sure. I think you could probably get round it. I mean, probably
you could
order
a cup of tea, one person in the whole thing.
I should imagine you could, because it's very, very filling and you get an awful lot of food. So,
oh, yeah. It filled us both up.
It certainly did. That's so lovely.
Hey, Britt, there's a little confusion among travelers between the terminology. You hear about cream tea, afternoon tea, high tea. What are the differences there?
Well, a cream tea and afternoon tea tend to be a fairly similar sort of thing, really, in my view. High tea tends to be something sort of like an early tea that you would give children perhaps when they came in from school, something with a little more substance to it, where you might have something called Welsh rarebit, or you might have, you know, that wonderful thing that we serve, beans on toast with it, or something like that. It's the sort of thing that I would give to my children if they came in and were starving and couldn't wait for dinner.
So a high tea is more of a meal then?
Yes, a lot of visitors refer to afternoon tea as high tea, and I guess we don't really correct them anymore, not that we really mind.
Okay, but that's very good to know, because I think what we're thinking about is the afternoon tea, and that's with all the ritual, and that's where you'd go to the fancy tea room in a fancy hotel or something like this.
It is, really. And the sort of thing that you'll be served little sandwiches, very dainty sandwiches with the crust cut off the bread, cucumber sandwiches, sometimes smoked salmon. You will have egg and cress sandwiches. And then you'll have scones. There's great debate about whether you pronounce it scone or scone. The majority of people pronounce it scone, but quite a number pronounce it scone. It varies. But this is like a little cake, often with currants in, or sultanas, or raisins. It depends. They're served in very different ways, but generally that's how they are. And you cut them in half and put strawberry jam on either side, and then a great big spoonful of clotted cream. Clotted cream is about, I think it's probably a minimum of 55% fat, which to you in the US would probably qualify as butter. It's very, very rich and it's quite delicious.
You're just getting me all excited here, Britt.
Oh, really?
Yes, I got to admit. Now, what I like to do is those beautiful scones or scones, I slice them very thinly so that I can have almost like a loaf of bread, and then I can put the clotted cream and the jam on each little thin layer. Is that kosher?
Well, you know, it depends. I think you can do pretty much what you want. But the way I tend to do it is cut them in half and then put the strawberry jam and then a dollop of cream on the middle. And I keep two halves separate and eat them just like that. You sort of eat them in one half. And then, of course, you've got to leave some room for pastries and cakes, which will follow. So it's not something that's to be hurried. There's an elegant aspect to it, and you're expected to take your time over it. If I went for afternoon tea at 3 o'clock, I certainly wouldn't expect to leave much before about 5 or 5:30, and I probably wouldn't eat much that evening either.
I bet not. So help us envision this. You get this three-tiered silver tray, don't you?
You do. Very often it's presented like that.
Take us through that from the bottom to the top.
Well, from the bottom, very often you will have the sandwiches, and they'll be finger sandwiches. So if you imagine a slice of bread cut into probably about 6 segments, sometimes they'll be in triangles.
Without the crust?
Oh, without the crust, yes, the crust, sir. I remember reading somewhere somebody saying, yes, if you didn't slice off the crust, what on earth would you give to the poor? Which I thought was very snobby. But you cut them and you make them as delicate and dainty as possible. And then on the next tier up, you've got scones. And then on the final tier, you've got very tiny little cakes.
Oh, this sounds so good. I'm speaking with Britt Lonsdale, and Britt is a Blue Badge guide. She's helped me for years in London as I work on my guidebook there. And we'll have Britt's contact information on our website at the Radio Corner at ricksteves.com. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Cheryl's on the phone in Portland, Oregon. Cheryl, thanks for your call.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I was calling with a comment for afternoon tea, a place I wanted to recommend, which is the Dorchester Hotel. I've been there twice for afternoon tea and really enjoyed it. Great food, great ambiance, and a very relaxing atmosphere.
The Dorchester?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely lovely, and I would agree completely. It's a marvelous hotel, and it does a very good afternoon tea.
Cheryl, when you were having the tea, did you have the three-tiered silver setting?
Yeah, well, actually, they brought the platter sandwiches, which you could select from, and that was my downfall. Ate too many of those, but then later on, they brought the three-tiered with the scones and a couple of other items with the clotted cream and the jam. And then later, they brought the platter of desserts, which you could select from.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was
they
quite
do
a bit
do
food.
That sometimes.
Now, Cheryl, were you surrounded by what seemed like, you know, uppity, aristocratic English people, or was it something that a tourist could feel comfortable in?
I would definitely say a tourist could feel comfortable in it. They do have a dress code, but if you have slacks and a nice shirt or, you know, a nice coat or something like that, you would definitely fit right in. And I never felt at all uncomfortable or that it was stuffy. The staff at the hotel, they were great. Just made the whole experience great.
Now, one thing I learned when I was having my tea is that the actual selection of tea is important too. Britt, what can you tell us about the variety of teas you might be able to choose from?
Well, there's a huge variety, but the most important thing to remember, I think, is that we always have it with milk. Sometimes I've noticed when I've gone with groups of people or individuals, they don't expect to have milk in their tea, but most of us will have milk automatically, and I know that you don't. The sort of teas that will be served for afternoon tea will be things like Darjeeling. A lot of us, me particularly, like a tea called Earl Grey. Apparently the Queen's very fond of Lapsang Souchong. But you can have anything, really, for afternoon tea. And you certainly won't have, you know, fruit teas or anything like that. It'll always be Indian or China tea, that sort of thing will be served. And I think something like Darjeeling is usually a light, sort of pleasant tea. Often places do their own afternoon tea blends, things that they feel are suitable. Certainly at the end of it, you'll have drunk so much that you will almost undoubtedly have a massive caffeine and sugar rush.
So Cheryl, on your next visit to London, what are your tea plans?
I would definitely go back to the Dorchester. It was, you know, I thought about trying different places, but the experience there was so great. It's just you go with what you know, and since it was a joyful experience, I would definitely go there again.
Sounds good. Cheryl from Portland, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about afternoon tea, the ritual of a fancy break in the afternoon with Britt Lonsdale, who's a Blue Badge guide in London. And Diana in Santa Fe emails us, and she writes, "When in London, I had high tea at Brown's Hotel, at the Ritz, and at the Stafford Hotel. They're all great and fairly pricey. What are some of the less traditional places that serve fine afternoon teas?" Britt, do you know about the high tea at Brown's Hotel, at the Ritz, at the Stafford?
Yes, I do, actually, and I've been to all of them. In fact, if you look at my figure, you can tell that. But, you know, I'm something of a great enjoyer of afternoon tea. But, you know, they vary tremendously in terms of the sort of ambiance or atmosphere you want, because some places will have music. Sometimes they'll have a piano player. Sometimes they'll have a little chamber orchestra. So you can go very grand and glam, or you can go very low-key, and an awful lot of little places will do afternoon tea. So it really rather depends what sort of experience you want. You can go into many cafes in London, very simple little cafes, and they will give you a scone with jam and cream. Cheaper places, perhaps, and perfectly nice. Just behind Kensington Palace, you have the Orangery, and they will do an afternoon tea where you can just have jam, scone, and cream, and a cup of tea, and it'll be much less expensive than, you know, the big £40 yeah. layout for something a little more glamorous. Those are the sort of places. Or else you could go, you know, into any little hotel and not have the full Monty, as we say, and just have a scone and cream. You know, there's plenty of places where you could find this.
So I suppose you can talk to the people in your hotel, you can look at your guidebook, or if you hire a private guide, guides will all have experiences like you for the place to go for a tea, depending on your budget and how glamorous you want to go. Basically, the teas are in the afternoon. What is the typical time for tea?
Well, usually what we would think would be about 3 o'clock. Having said that, such is the popularity of afternoon tea, you will find a lot of places, well, I hesitate to say cashing in on it because obviously they're meeting a demand, but you will find places that will start doing it very early. For example, the Ritz Hotel, they serve it from 11:30 in the morning, then at 1:30, then at 3:30, then at 5:30, and then at 7:30. They have various sittings. So that's, you know, really quite a lot of afternoon tea. But the Langham Hotel that recently won an award for their afternoon tea, they serve it between 2 and 6. It's almost always best to have a reservation, however, because they do get popular. It's the sort of place where you would take somebody to celebrate something, you know, or if you've got visitors in town. I had some Indian friends in town and took them to Fortnum and Mason's a little while ago, and they absolutely loved it. Although they were wearing jeans, which they thought, of course, was terribly fashionable. And we had to be tucked away in the corner because there is quite a strict dress code. And jeans, whilst to them would have seemed the height of fashion, to the people in Fortnum and Mason's was, you know, not the correct dress.
So you may get in with casual dress, but you're likely to be tucked away in a corner.
Quite probably.
Yeah. Last time you were enjoying a tea with one of your friends in London, what was a faux pas you recognized from Americans that were there in the room? Or what is something that you would warn us about?
What I would say would be go with the flow and go with the experience. Don't go to afternoon tea and say, oh, no, I don't drink tea, because why are you there if you haven't decided that you're going to have a cup of tea? Try it with milk, you know, and just see the way you do it. One of the things that is so incredibly endearing, I find, about a lot of the American people I go around with is how sweetly they ask, how is the right way to do it? Should I be doing it like this? Should I be doing it like that? And I find that completely charming, and it makes me take them to my heart, because there really isn't a completely right way, or you will get some very stuffy English people who will say, oh no, milk in first, or, you know, no, you must do your scone this way. But to be honest, I don't think it really matters, as long as you love the experience and, you know, just lap up the atmosphere.
Probably make a point to take your time. You don't want to rush a tea.
Definitely not. And anyway, you can't, because if you start, you know, eating it all madly, you'll be so full, you just won't be able to manage the rest of it. So take it very, very gently.
A question about the tea itself. What's the thought between loose tea and tea that comes in a bag?
Well, I don't think in most of the really good afternoon tea places you will find tea in tea bags. You'll find loose tea. That's really perceived as being the classiest way to serve it. Right. And you will get a little strainer, you know, so you'll strain it into your cup. That sometimes comes as a bit of a surprise to people because they're not used to doing that.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Britt Lonsdale, who's a Blue Badge guide in London. Britt, let's close it off by just taking us to your favorite place for afternoon tea in London and paint a little picture.
Well, one of my favorite places, and it's certainly not the most glamorous place, is Fortnum & Mason's. It's a big store on Piccadilly. And when you go in at street level, there are lots of lovely teas for sale. It's just really beautiful inside. And I love going upstairs to the Georgian restaurant on the fourth floor, which they lay out for afternoon tea. There are lovely, comfortable sofas. So comfortable that I went there with my children once a while back and one of my boys fell asleep. That's how comfortable it was. And there's a man playing the piano, playing all sorts of popular tunes. He'll play requests. It's all very refined and very sort of peaceful. You're up above the roar of the traffic and you're served so nicely. Proper napkins, not paper napkins or anything like that. Lovely little strainer for the loose leaf tea that's brought to you. In a lovely teapot, of course, everything is so nicely done. The devil is always in the detail. And for me, the detail at Fortnum & Mason's is perfect. And especially, of course, the fact that the sandwiches, the scones, the strawberry jam, the clotted cream and the little pastries are just so delicious. That's my favourite.
Britt Lonsdale, hearing you talk just makes me want to raise my pinky and have a delightful time at Fortnum & Mason's or some great place like that. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, next time we're in London.
It's a pleasure.
It's afternoon tea. Britt Lonsdale, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Nibbling their sandwiches, sipping on their tea. There sits a pair as perfect as you'd ever care to see. He's a piece of nature's artwork, no more finely drawn than she. As they're sipping on their sandwiches and nibbling their tea. See how he smiles, see how she beams. As he offers her the tin of chocolate creams.
Up next, literary maven Nancy Pearl suggests her favorite books and authors to stir up the wanderlust in any armchair traveler. And you can share your own recommendations for your favorite literature that takes you to other times and exotic places. Look for the Share Feedback link in the radio section of ricksteves.com.